Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, I always enjoy coming to church. That's a good thing because I'm always here on Wednesdays and Sundays. But I've always enjoyed, I remember when I was in, I was out of college, but I would just look forward to going, you know, the church in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I went to college, University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and we had the church there, Abundant Life Family Church, pastored by Pastor Gillum and Emily Kissling there. And, you know, I was single and I would go there and I looked forward to going just to get, you know, every time I went, I would just get built up. I would get nourished, you know, spiritually speaking. And I loved going. I had somebody ask me about that one time. They were like, really, you want to go to church?
Yeah.
You're not like, you have to, you want to? And I was like, yeah, I want to go. I wouldn't miss it. I enjoy it. I grow. Every time I go, I'm growing and I see my life changing, and that's how it ought to be. So we're thankful to be here. Well, we've been in a series called How Faith Comes for some time, and we just take as much time as we need. You know, these messages are all available online at the link in your bulletin. If you just go there, it's andoverchristiancenter.org/weekly_media.html. If you just put that in your browser, bookmark it, you'll be all set. All the messages are there if you want to go back and listen to previous ones. I encourage you, go back and listen to them on Wednesdays. These ones on faith, they'll build your faith. It's good to have a shot in the arm on faith and to get clear on these things. But we've been in a series called How Faith Comes for some time, and we're going to go further. We're just going to pick right up where we left off last week. Let's turn really quickly to Hebrews 11. Why don't you, on your way to Hebrews 11, stop by Romans 10. We'll read Romans 10, 17, because we haven't read that for a while, and that's kind of the text that we've been basing this on, but those two verses. But go to Romans 10, 17. And Hebrews 11, we'll read Romans 10, 17 first. Praise God. He is so good. You know, that's a good thing to say. You don't have to blare it in people's face. You don't got to be weird about it, because some people aren't going to understand what you're saying. I mean, you don't have to go around to everybody just saying, well, praise God, praise God. But, you know, here's the thing. People might go, well, that's different. You say, like, praise God if something goes on. Like I said, you got to use wisdom, too. Don't throw your pearls before swine. But on the other hand, you know, there's a lot of people that are around, and they're cussing left and right.
Yep.
And so, you know, didn't matter what comes out or what's going on, you know, they're dropping all these words. I worked on a construction crew several different times, but, you know, I worked on a construction crew doing trim carpentry, you know, all the wood. I was the vice president of closets, they called me. So... That's you know, closets people don't see, you know, so it's all behind all the clothes and everything. So, you know, I was in college and I did that in the summer and worked on a trim carpentry crew, finished carpentry. So I started in the closets, and I did base other than that. So, you know, you got your closets, and I would build the shelves and the base, you know, the base that's on the near the floor, near the carpet. You know, tack all that on, and then I would go around and put all the base on the house. You know, so you learn tricks to put those things on. But I'm telling you, man, these guys talk about cussing. I mean, every other word. Just boom, 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 all the time. And that's pretty normal in a lot of places. But, you know, whenever you're tempted to just even... you know, just get irritated about something, you just say, praise God. Even if you have to say it on your breath, thank God. Praise God, He's good. Well, that's better than saying a lot of other things. Get in that habit. That's not a bad habit. And just say that. Don't yield your mouth to bad stuff, to be saying things. Don't even yield your mouth to a little bit to it. The more I go, the more I see this. I heard one person say, I mean, whether you're using an explicit, you know, cuss word, or you're using like something, people say darn it or something. Now, don't get me wrong. It's all, I heard somebody say this once, and it's true. The more I go, it's all the same thing behind it. If you're like, and you say something, whether you're using one word that you'd rather not hear anybody hear you use, or use a lighter version, it's the same thing. Now, I'm not saying they're interchangeable, because some of them carry a lot more weight. You just don't, you know, they're a lot worse. But at the same time, at the core, it's the same thing. So in other words, you're still yielding to getting frustrated versus yielding to God. I mean, just because if you're getting frustrated and just because you don't let a bunch of real bad words go, if you're just frustrated, it's the same thing. You're not looking to God. That's the root. And if you'll just be like, no, instead of that, I'm going to cut that off. I'm just going to bless God. Right now, praise God. I'm going to no matter what words you're using, you're looking at the problem. The other one, you're taking your eyes off the problem and you're looking at the Lord and saying, He's greater, and I'm going to glorify Him right now. It may start off as something you really have to work on, but the more you go, that'll become a habit. And that's a good habit. Amen. Praise God. That's all free. We should glorify God with our mouths. Amen? Now, we've all made mistakes in this area. This is not to condemn anybody, but hey, we can change. Tomorrow's a new day. Today's a new day. At the end of the day, hey, you can change. We can change. We can come up. We don't have to yield to junk. Amen? Romans 10, verse 17. Everybody there? It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We went over this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bible faith is based on God's word. It's not based on somebody's experience. It's not based on what somebody else said. It's based on what God said. Amen. We've been talking about that. Go over to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. That we went over that. We're not going to take time to go over that again. But the substance means it's the foundation. It's that which sits under. It's the confidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So the reason you believe, or the reason you expect something to happen, is because you believe something else. That's why. So faith is the reason that you would expect something to change. It's the reason, Bible faith is the reason you'd expect something in the natural to be a certain way, because God said something. So you don't see anything. You may feel something different, but because God said something, you expect it to change. But you're not expecting it to change or be different because it looks a certain way or because it feels a certain way. And if we go by feelings and by what we see, you will be defeated, because you can't. If you see things a certain way and it looks bad, if you're going by what you see, you'll start to feel bad and think, well, God's not faithful. It's not working. You know, why did this happen, etc. But you can't go by what you see. How many of you know we don't all understand everything perfectly, but in spite of that, we know God's a good God. And in the face of circumstances, when you say God's a good God in the face of something that looks bad, that's when you're really acting in faith. Anybody can be going down the road and everything be perfect and rosy, and you're just like, oh, praise God, He's good. Well, thank God for that, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be thankful for those times. And we've been talking about this on Sundays. Thank God for the good things. But when storms come in our lives, you know, if we just throw it up and go, okay, now God's not good because something happened. Whoa, wait a minute. How did what happened on this earth in this temporal realm affect who He is? He was here before this world existed. He's the one that created it. and the change. How many of you know this world is always changing? You know, the weather forecasts, they change all the time. Now, I understand those are based on models, and it's just, you know, as you get closer. But, you know, you can't go based on what you see on the weather report. It's subject to change. Did I tell you guys when we went up a few weeks ago? I don't think I told you. But we went up with the Crowls on Monday. We spent some time with them. We went up to the mountains. And this was, you know, September 19th. So it was forecast terrain. It was completely forecast to be sunny the week before. Perfect day, 75. We're like, praise God, it's going to be great. And then it got close and it looked like just complete rain. We were like, well, we better have a plan B. And then we got close to it, and it like looked like, well, it was raining later in the afternoon, but it was going to be just cloudy for a little bit. And we were talking about, what should we do? Well, I think we should just let's just go up to the mountains anyway. Because we were talking about some other things, let's go up to the mountains. So we're going up, and it is cloudy all the way there. And we're going to go up on the tram in Franconia. And up there, man, we went there once, and it was the day we had planned to go. This was a long time ago with the family. And we got up to the top of that thing, if you guys know what I'm talking about. It was completely rainy and cloudy. So you get up to the top, and all you can see is like cloud right in front of you. You can't see anything. It's just white. I'm like, I don't want that. You know, we're going up, and it's looking cloudy, but we're looking at the forecast, and it's like, it looks like it's partly sunny here. You know, it looks like it's partly sunny. We're going to go up, and it looked like it's partly sunny in Franconia. So we're going up, and it's all cloudy. And as you're coming up a 93 there into Franconia Notch, there's a bend. You can't see. I mean, it's all mountain, and we're coming up there, and it's all cloudy. And then we were going over to where the tram was, and we came around that bend, and that it was all sunny right there. Oh, awesome. Yeah. It was like we found the partly cloudy. It is sunny. We were like, thank God. I mean, we got to go up and be able to see everything, and you could see for miles. Anyway, you cannot trust what you see, like the weather report. My point was, this world is subject to change, right? You can't bank on it. And so just because this world is subject to change, if it changes, that doesn't mean God's unfaithful. Are you kidding me? Just because something, if your body changed and now you think, well, God's not working. You think, something happened, so now God's not faithful. What? God is faithful. In our limited understanding, we'll see something change. Just know, expect things to change on this earth. Don't look at what's changing. If our faith is in what we see, we'll be like a yo-yo, man. We'll go up and down and up and down and all over the place. But if we're basing our faith on God's word, you won't be moved by something changing. And if it can change for the bad, it can change for the good, just like that. It can get better, just like that. So we shouldn't be moved by what we see. We've been talking about that. Now, I want to get into this. We touched on this last week, and I want to get a little bit further, because we touched on it, but I want to go a little bit further. We talked about the difference between mental assent, and heart faith. John Wesley said that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith that looks and sounds so much like faith that many people can't tell the difference. He called it mental assent. So, for example, many people see what God's word says and they agree mentally that God's word is true. Do you know you can do that in any area? But they're just agreeing with their minds. Mental agreement with the word is not what gets the job done. You can't just mentally agree. It is heart faith that receives from God. That is why the Bible says, for it's with the heart one believes. We don't take a note of it. We've read it before. Romans 10:10 says, it's with the heart man believes. It's your heart that you believe. It's not with your head. Now that's very important, because you can be, your head can be like, what? But your heart is hooked up, is believing God. But your head can be, you can have doubt in your head. You can be like, wait a minute, I thought so-and-so, or I think it should be this way, or why isn't it? But you just ignore your head. Your heart, which is your spirit, the real you, that's where faith comes from. That's where you believe. Faith comes from the Word of God, and your heart hooking up with that and believing it. So in the face of bad circumstances, you can still believe the Word of God. But this thing, which we just call mental assent, it doesn't come from the heart, it's your head. Now Mark 11, verse 23, now just mark that down again. I'm not going to take time to turn there, but it said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. But it says, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. See, you're believing with your heart, not your head. You don't doubt in your heart. We read in Romans 10:10 that it's with the heart one believes. So it's your heart. Now stick with me here, because we're going to go through this again. We went through it last time, but this is subtle. I remember when I heard about this a long time ago, I was like, well, what? How do you tell the difference? What am I just believing with my head or my heart? This is how you tell the difference. The Bible never said one word about doubting in one's head. It's not taught. You can have doubts in your head, and you can still have faith in your heart, and it'll work. Whatever you're believing for God for, it'll work. It'll cause you to receive from God. So people ask, how can I tell whether it's faith in my head, whether I have faith in my heart, or whether I'm just believing mentally from my head? So you can tell mental agreement or mental assent. It says something like this: I know God's word's true. I know God's promises, like for instance, God promises me healing, and the answer to my prayer, or whatever it is you need, you know, whatever you're believing God for, but for some reason I can't get it, I can't understand it. Why don't I have the answer? Now I'm going to go over that again. I'm talking about the difference between just agreeing mentally and believing with your heart, because believing with your heart is what's going to get the job done. And a lot of people have just got a couple scriptures and they say, oh, well, God, yep, I agree the Bible's true. And they start running off. And what they're doing is they're agreeing mentally that that's true, but they don't believe with their heart. Now, how do you tell the difference? Here's how you tell the difference. Mental agreement will say things like this: I know God's word's true. I've seen the word. I know it says by his stripes I'm healed. I know 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4 and 5. Those are all healing scriptures. You know, by his stripes we were healed. He himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. You could quote any number of scriptures. You know, he heals all my diseases. You could say, I know all these things. But I don't understand why my situation isn't changing. I've done what the Word of God says, and I don't understand it. You just pegged the situation right there, the reason why. That is mental agreement. Did you hear me? Because somebody said, well, that's a valid question. Why isn't it working? That's mental agreement right there. How'd you say why? Because Bible faith is faith in God's word regardless of what you see or feel or experience in this natural realm. Faith, Bible faith, does not ask why it's not working, because let me ask you a question. How would you know it's not working? What are you going by? Well, I don't see it. You what? I don't feel it. You what? My body hasn't changed. What? So where is your faith? Where is it? What's it on? It's in what you see, feel, hear, right? It's not on God's word, because God's word didn't change. Did you hear me? This will answer a lot of questions. When you switch over from just agreeing with God's word to saying it's true no matter what, I don't care, that's when the answers start coming. I've seen this in my own life. But it's subtle. It's easy to stay there and go, I just don't know. Why isn't it working? And you know what? I've been around this basically my entire life. I was born again at age 6, coming out of the charismatic movement, you know, saved. And then we got into a Spirit-filled Lutheran church. We came out of the Catholic church. And then I grew up in Rhema churches that would pastor by Rhema grads. And, you know, I've heard Brother Hagin growing up, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Andrew Womack, you know, listened to him 25 years ago when nobody hardly knew about him. Probably around 1990, more than 25 probably. And I've heard people, I've heard the tapes, I've gone around, I'm just saying this just to tell you, I've been around, I've heard people in church, I've seen people say, you know, you're supposed to know the word. You've heard the word, you listen to, you know, we used to listen to tapes. I would drive around, you know, in my little Honda Accord and then my Honda Prelude, I had these tapes with me. I would listen to these things when I was in high school, when I was in college. And I've seen, but I've gone through and I've asked myself those questions. Why? But why isn't it this? I mean, I've tried to do this, but why isn't this happening? And I finally learned. So you can hear the word, but this isn't dawning on you. Don't ever think you know everything, because then you're closed to learning, and that's just foolishness. The Bible says if anyone thinks he knows thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know as he ought to know. Just why don't we all acknowledge we all have a lot to learn? Saying we have a thimbleful of knowledge compared to God is an exaggeration. There is so much that is to be known, but when you get a few things, you're like, well, I heard this and this and this. This ought to work. I understand it. See, it's agreeing mentally. This is something that I see the framework, and so I do A, and B should happen, and here. Why isn't it working? See, you ask that question, you just answered your own question if you knew enough. If we knew enough what to look for, we just answered our own question, because we're looking for something in the natural instead of saying, God said it, that's it, I believe it, we're going on. Oh, it doesn't look like it's changed. Nope, I don't care, I'm going to praise God anyhow. And when you change into starting to praise God in spite, you praise God because you already have your answer, and you can look the problem right in the face and say, you're going to change. You're not looking anymore to say, oh, it's just not working. You're saying, you got to change. I know God's word, and something's going to give, and it's not going to be God's word. So you got to change. And you start getting happy about it. You believe something now, because you're not going by what you see. If you were going by what you see, you'd go home and go in your bed and cry. I'm serious. I've been there, and I have cried. And you know what? It doesn't get any better. And you can say, oh, God, wait. I mean, I did it all. And you can get mad at God. You can get mad at God and say, well, you know, that's just arrogance. That's foolishness. And you're helped by the devil. Am I hitting too close to home here? Huh? We all have flesh. And if we yield to our feelings, we'll say, I don't know why. Do we understand that we're basically saying, God, I've done everything right. Why didn't you show up? Do you realize that's what we're saying? But a lot of times it's self-pity going, I just don't know. God, I've done everything. I've tried. I've done your word. I've listened. I don't know why it's not working. Do you know what you just did? You located. I mean, really. So I understand the frustration. I understand that the fact that we may not see something and it's pushing on your flesh, but the answer is never God is wrong. I understand it can be frustrating. You're like, but I know I'm trying to do everything I know to do. Number one, we don't know everything. But number two, we're looking at the wrong thing if we let that come out of our mouths. Do you understand why? Because we're seeing, I've done everything and I just don't know why it's not working. No, faith will turn in. Faith says, I have it now. God said that if I act on His word, it's done. So it's done. I don't care what changes, what it looks like right now, it will change because God said so. So I'm getting ready. And what if it's one day or 2 days or a week? You still stay in that same mode and you say, nope, it's changing. God's word's true. Where's your faith on then? It's on what He said. And you will not fail to receive. Ever. Otherwise, He lied. Otherwise, God's a liar. And He's not a liar. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And some people are getting it. See, faith, real faith, says if God's word says it's so, then it's so. The promise is mine. I have it now. Faith will say, I have it even if I can't see it. And it'll get sassy about it. You start to be, the thing that made you sad, you start to realize, wait a minute. I was just feeling sorry for myself. I was looking at the wrong thing. God said it, so you get up, you start praising. I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. We can do it. We just have to stop looking at the wrong thing, start looking at the right thing, and start thanking God. It's working. It's working. God said it would be this way. It'll show up. You watch. It'll show up. It'll change. Hey, it changed for the worse. It can change for the better. Just like this. Boom. Different. Just like that. You watch. And see, you go from just, oh, to expecting it to change. You just watch and say, watch, it's going to change. You watch, it'll change. It's coming. But you don't set a time on it. You don't wait. You just stay in. God said it. I believe it. See, if you already saw it, if you already had it, then you wouldn't have to believe it. You would already know it. But you have to take the step of believing without seeing, based on only your faith in the integrity of God's word. See, most people, they want to know it first, and then they want to believe it. Do you realize that's what a lot of people are doing in the earth? Well, prove to me God's word is true. Prove to me He exists. Then I'll believe it. That's not going to happen. God is under no obligation to prove anything. He's already shown Himself. Nope. People want to know from the natural standpoint of having it come to pass first. In other words, people want to say, oh, I feel better. That means God's word's working. That's backwards. That's completely backwards. We know we have received what God's word tells us is ours because God's word says it is ours. That's how you know. When we believe God's word without seeing anything manifest in the natural realm, then what we are believing materializes. That's when it happens. The Bible says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you believe first. And how do we know you're believing? Well, won't get into this, but you won't be sad. If you're moping and going, oh, I just don't know, you're looking at the wrong thing. Because let me ask you a question. Is God sad? Is He defeated? And we're His children? So why would we be sad? Well, but this thing, well, then you don't believe it's going to change. If you're sad, you don't believe anything's going to change. Why would you be sad if your problem was just going to do a 180? Wouldn't that make you happy? You all out there? Then why would you be sad? No, you won't be moping. Jesus was saying, we just quoted Mark 11:24, you have to believe you have your petition before you have it. Now, it's not a, well, God's up there going, well, let's see. Let's see if you can believe, and then I'll just give it to you. No, he's already given it to us. How you receive it is by believing. Because if it were up to God, it would already be done. He's not withholding. He's not playing some cosmic game. Well, let's see if you got enough faith. Oh, ding, 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 ding. Oh, there you go. Now I'll get. No, he's already given it. How you pulled in this realm is believing what he said in spite of what you see. That's what the faith is, the hand that grabs what God has already given and brings it into existence. It will change natural things. God created this natural world, and his power can overtake things that look like they're impossible. It can change things. Brother Hagin said this. He said, I don't know about you, but I have never been able to receive healing for my body without first believing that I had received my healing, even when every symptom in my body was crying out, you don't have your healing, you aren't healed. I would just simply say to my flesh, the Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. So if you say I'm not healed, you are a liar, because the Word of God says I am. Then when I act in faith on God's Word instead of acting on what I feel, the results are always forthcoming. Works out 100 times out of 100. But if you're going to sit there and groan and sigh and complain and wait for something to come to you, you will never get very far in faith, in Bible faith. I've seen this myself. You can sit there. And it changed, and it will change. You can believe you're healed. And if you sit there and go, and you're looking at it, well, it doesn't feel any better, it's not changing, and I'd be like, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? Why isn't this changing? Oh, I didn't have enough faith. And I'd go back and try to, well, I got to pray again, or I knew better, but it's like I didn't pray in faith the first time, so what's wrong? Why is it? Because I'm looking at the symptoms. I don't know I'm looking at the symptoms, but that's what's going on. I'm waiting for something to change before I believed. But when you believe before you see and you say, no, this is going to change, I prayed, that's it. It's done, and go on about your business and start expecting it before you see anything change, and it's like, well, it's not changing. That's all right. It's got to go. I have it. That's when stuff starts to change. It does. It does. It starts to change. It's a switch. This is the crux of so many things right here. Just ask yourself the question. If you say you're believing, or you're waiting for something to change, well, ask yourself the question: when are you going to start believing it's done? Because if it's not done now and you're hurting, when are you going to start believing? And the answer would be, well, when I see it change. You just located the problem. You're waiting to see something and then believe. That's backwards. It will never happen that way. You will be waiting and waiting and wondering and wondering. And when we say, all right, I believe God now, it doesn't look like it's changed, but God said and I act on it. Now, what? Well, why would you believe? I believe because God said it. Well, it sure doesn't look like it. It has nothing to do with it. That's subject to change, and it will change. You watch. So you just shifted into a different gear. This will work in any area. We're focusing on healing, but faith works the same in every area. People look at their checkbook and go, I just don't have the money. I just don't have the money. Well, when are you going to start believing you have that? Well, when I have it, I don't have to believe it. That's not the way it works. You're walking with God. You start believing that you do what he's told you to do, and you start believing you'll prosper. You start believing you have favor. You start believing the good job's coming. You start believing that you have clients coming. You believe that before you see it, and you say, well, I'm just going to throw that on God. I'm going to enjoy my life. I have plenty. When you don't see anything, And it's amazing. It works the same way. All of a sudden, stuff starts showing up, and you're walking in. I'm not talking about trading your blood, sweat, and tears. Anybody can work themselves in the grave for money. I'm talking about enjoying the life of God and believing Him and doing what you ought to do. That will take work. Nobody said to stay at home all the time and just be, sitting there waiting for stuff to jump. But in the area of prosperity, you work where God has told you to work. You be diligent. You be if you're owning the business, you do it, you run it, manage it well. If you're working for somebody, you do be an excellent employee. You do as He's told you to do with your money, and then you just expect, and you expect it to change. You believe before you see it. You call those things that be not as though they were. In a relationship, husband and wife relationship, so many people are saying what they have. They're not getting along because we just don't get along. We just don't love each other like we used to. They're just not doing that. They're just not doing that. And they're just like, well, once they change, then I'll change. Well, guess what? That's a vicious cycle. Well, that person should change. Then I'll change. Well, that person say, well, you should change. Well, that, you're at a stalemate. Hint, though, the husband ought to take the lead and change regardless of what the wife does. If you're going to be the leader of the home, then don't tell the other person what they need to do. You lay your life down and you take the step. Boy, that was a good place to say amen, guys. You missed it. If it's a stalemate, if the husband's going to be the leader, then he ought to say, I'm sorry. If somebody, I'm not going to say I'm sorry because they're stupid. And I'm not going to, the wife say, I'm not going to say I'm sorry because until they do that, guess what? You can stay for years like that, or somebody's got to break it. If the husband's going to be the leader and they're the true head of the home, then you swallow your pride and you say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. And shut your mouth after that. A lot of really good apologies have been messed up right there. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. But you did this. Boom. You're done. You're done. If you wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have said nope. Just got derailed right there. But what are we talking about? You believe it's going to be better. You start talking well of your spouse before you say, well, he just can't get this. She just is this. No, no, no. Well, once they change, No. I believe. I'm praying for them. They're changing. I'm going to treat them like they're different now. Amen. Amen. See, faith will work in every area. Hallelujah.